got a whole lot of loving just for you. Ooh. I got all this loving, but I just want you.
Hello, and welcome to Heller Radio. My name is Nora Rose.
I am Sally.
And I'm Kate.
And we need to talk about Destiel. As we mentioned last time, at least this first episode is a really fun episode. Yeah, I'll just jump into the summaries. Stuck in the Middle with You. Fun fact, directed by Richard Spite Jr. Mary asks Sam, Dean, and Castiel for help on a case. She's working, but neglects to mention the British men of letters are involved. When Mary is double-crossed, everything is revealed. Sort of.
Not really.
Not really. And then the second episode is Somewhere Between Heaven and Hell. An attack by an invisible hellhound at a campsite leads Sam and Dean to investigate the mysterious circumstances. Meanwhile, two of Crowley's own personal demons uncover what he has been hiding. Castiel gets a lead on Kelly Klein.
Yeah. I never made the connection that both, like, confession episodes, I mean, Cass's confession of this one and the 1518 were both directed by Richard
Spate.
Yeah.
There's a lot of parallels that I'm sure we'll get into.
Yeah.
These.
Yeah. The first thing that I want to say about Stuck in the Middle with You is, goddamn Tarantino.
Hey, yeah, you can say that. I was going to say that I am positive right now, having rewatched everything up to now, that this is my most favorite episode of Supernatural. I don't know, it's so much fun.
Really?
Yeah, I love it. I love everything about it. It's just like the dialogue, how it's written, how it's edited, how it's directed. Everything is just like a plus.
I do love how it's edited. I love the non-linear timeline. I love the you know, title cards every once in a while. I even wrote down the title cards in my notes as I was going through. I love the slow-mo walk from the car to the diner.
Yeah.
And with that one also, like, I was just sort of like, as if Dean is not the main character, because he's the one in the middle at the point of this group. And I was like, oh, come on. And I love all of the expanding of the universe. Like, there are more yellow eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, the first time that I saw the yellow eyes, I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah. And for once, it's like, happens very, like, naturally. I mean, it's like, the thing I hate about, like, TV shows is that you kind of get spoon-fed with all these, like, details you suddenly need to, you know, like, understand what's going on or stuff like that. And, like, it's very organically in this one. Just, like, the opening, the whole opening, like, conversation between everybody. It's just, you know, if you remember when Little Woman came out, like, years ago, there was this whole talk and everybody was praising how organic and real the dialogue felt, because they would, because the characters would, like, talk over each other, et cetera, et cetera. And, like, this opening scene gives me the same vibes. It's like, this is how people converse, you know? You don't wait your turn. So, yeah.
Yeah.
This is good. Yeah, I love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do. I do. Just I wouldn't say this is my favorite episode of Supernatural, but it is a very, very good episode.
Yes. Yeah, having the later seasons amnesia, sitting down to watch this episode, I was like, oh, okay, we're doing a Tarantino thing. Like, completely forgot that this episode was framed this way. And then when they were doing the slow-mo walk and then it said directed by Richard Spade, I was like, yep, that explains that.
Yeah. But it's also done in such a good way, like, because, like, there are a lot of repetitions, but, like, they never get boring because of how it's cut together. Because, like, yeah. every single one, the tiny repetition kind of reveals more every time. So it's not, yeah. You know? Yeah. Just, like, I have a lot of love for this episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
Agreed.
Oh, man. And then, of course, there's everything to do with Cassiel dying. And just, there are so many little moments with Dean's reaction and, like, how he's trying to care for him and everything. And just, like, even the first time that it's revealed to Dean that Cass is dying, Cass says, "I think I'm dying," and it goes to Dean and his Adam's apple kind of bobs for a second and then he's like, "No."
Yeah. Yeah, denial. Yeah.
He was being so brave about it until he wasn't.
Yeah.
And he just goes on, like, the warpath, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I love, okay, so, you know, we've had this discussion about how I'm not a huge Crowley fan, but I actually love Crowley in this episode. Like, yeah. I love that it wasn't his idea to be the king of hell.
Yeah, that was really interesting.
Like, what a revelation right there.
Honestly, makes a lot of sense because, like, Crowley is, like, a character, if you know him, like, why would he, you know, like, I don't know, seek out more trouble for himself when he had, obviously, had enough power to, you know, enough for him to break and make some things, and, like, he didn't need more, so, yeah, it makes sense that he kind of, and also it kind of shows him as this, is this guy who kind of also feels responsible for stuff because the woman he's with there, like, offers to take over or is offered the job if he denies. But he says, no, I'm going to do it. So I feel like, I don't know, maybe it was, like, the power-hungry thing, but I think it's, like, he's, like, feeling a bit responsibility there in that moment. I love Crowley. Yeah. We have had this discussion.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, and I love his little Ramiel, Prince of Hell. It's catchy. It rhymes.
Yeah.
And there's so much foreshadowing in this episode too. There's foreshadowing Dagon. Because this is the first time we mentioned Dagon. Asmodeus. Crowley.
No.
Yes, no. Asmodeus. Yes.
Yeah.
No, he doesn't show up until...
Yeah, later.
A different season.
Yeah.
And there's Crowley standing up to Ramiel about just standing up to him for the Winchester crew. And I kind of felt like it was a little foreshadowing towards his death at the end of the season. Because he's more and more on their side.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the whole thing about him saying that they could probably heal Cass and defeat Ramael if they had, like, more time. And then he immediately, like, disappears and Dean thinks he's gone. But, like, he is exactly trying to buy them more time. That's what he's doing.
Exactly.
Why he's having and talking to Ramael at all. So, yeah, and, like, unlike, I don't know, like, I feel like Crowley does a lot of tiny and not so tiny things for the Winchesters that often get unnoticed and they don't even learn about them. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Shout out to Crowley.
And then also, isn't the Lance kind of foreshadowing too? Because in later seasons when we have Michael.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure we're looking for a lance to defeat him.
I wish
or something like that.
I could remember. Yeah.
I know them because Kaya had a sort of lance like weapon.
She has her spear, yeah.
And they're trying to use that in place of Michael's lance.
Yeah.
Okay.
Also just the Jesus parallels with Cass getting stabbed in the side with a spear.
Right.
Yeah.
When they had a cameo of the Spear of Destiny when the boys moved into the bunker, Dean finds it in a box and then he's like, "Oh, cool," and then sets it to this. Like, that would come in handy later.
And then, when Crowley is explaining what the lance does, he apologizes to Cass, and he actually, like, seems sincere about it. And perhaps it's that sincerity that makes Dean immediately go, no, there's a cure.
Yeah.
When I love when sarcastic characters stop being sarcastic and be sincere, and that's when the real shit happens, and everybody goes, oh, shit.
Yeah.
That's that moment for Dean.
Yeah. But just, like, the fact that Crowley saved Cass twice, or maybe three times, if we kind of count what happens, what's about to happen later. I don't know. It's just, yeah. Aren't they supposed to hate each other? No, they are.
Right?
Yeah. But they even have him say something like, oh, he's growing on me or something.
Yeah.
Which is the closest thing that Crowley can say to I love you without bursting into flames.
And then speaking of I love you.
Yeah.
So Cass says, Crowley's right, you should go. And Dean says, Cass, come on. And Cass says, no, you listen to me. Look. Thank you. Knowing you, it's been the best part of my life. Which is saying something because he's eons old. And the things that we've shared together, they have changed me. You're my family. Looking at Dean, he says, I love you. And then there's a reaction from Dean. And he sort of can't look at Cass directly. And then Cass speaks to the whole group and says, I love all of you. Just please, please don't make my last moments be spent watching you die. Just run. Save yourselves. And I will hold off Ramiel as long as I can.
And he tries to get up, and he can't. So sad. No, but it is insane. Like watching this after seeing 1518, it's like if all the reactions and all like these tiny acting bits that Jensen has in this scene are exactly the same as in 1518.
Yeah. And yeah. A lot of the speech mirrors 1518. And we just love to go back to what Nora Rose always says is, how do we know that Dean's in love with Cass? Because Sam isn't.
And yes. Sam
and Mary's reactions are a lot more understated, and Dean is like just losing his shit.
Well, and also like when he says the first I love you, the plain old I love you, where does the camera go? It goes to Dean.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
These are choices.
Yes! Yes.
These are purposeful choices.
I'm just wondering, like, whose choices? Because, like, I think there's a script out there. I'm not sure, but I'm just curious to see if it has, like, two I love yous, or, like, did Misha do some evil things on this set and just like literally butchered it and went to like, yeah, I'm gonna do the I love you twice and add the all at the end of the second one and nobody will know.
Yeah. Yeah. The old switcheroo that they love to do.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And like, and the shots linger on Dean and his, because you can see where his eye contact is. Stays longer on Dean.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's wonderful and also infuriating.
Yeah. Yeah, also it's hard to deliver a love confession to Jared. I mean, in all due respect.
Yeah. There's a reason why he wasn't allowed on set when they were filming the confession.
Oh god.
Yeah.
Anyway, I love that it's Crowley who saves him, who figures out the runes and just snaps the thing in half. It's just, I don't know why, but it's a great moment.
It is.
And I love it.
But it's also weird. It's like, it seems like it should have taken a little more effort than just Crowley going, and just snapping it.
Well, I mean, he's got demon strength, so.
He does, but like, they don't play into that or anything. It's just very casual, like, oh, this amazing web, and it's broken. Just that good spate Tarantino irreverence for things.
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy it happened how it happened, because if I had to like watch Cass vomit that horrible goo longer, I know it was bad.
Yeah, another parallel, the black goo.
The black goo
always coming for Cass.
Yep. And when they help him up to his feet, speaking of lingering longer,
it's about the hands,
and it's about, I'm sure you've seen the post that's been going around lately that has like several different instances of Dean doing the same exact face as during the confession, and this is one of those moments.
Yeah, I saw that post, didn't know what scene that was from, where he was helping him up, and they were, like, holding hands, like, a Cass and Dean holding hands longer than on Sam's side, where he got him up and then let him go right away.
Yeah.
It was just like, yeah, I cannot with this, oh my god, it's so tender.
I was okay up to that point. I was okay, and then Dean had to say, let's go home, and I was shut up!
And the way that he looks at him, it's the way that he looks at him every time Cass comes back or almost dies, where he's just like in awe that he's still alive, and then he said, let's go home, right into the camera. I'm like, ah ha ha.
Yeah.
It hurts.
And then And then the title card, last title card, is One Last Thing, which is kind of funny because it's actually two last things. The thing that was stolen from Ramael was Mary stealing the colt. Yeah. And then the other last thing is Crowley's got some motherfucker chained up in a room, a cell. Yeah, I hate that motherfucker.
I mean, we know this was gonna happen. Yeah. But we did skip over some things here, especially at the beginning. And yeah, shout out to Mindy, whom I love.
Yes! Oh my god, the whole diner scene is just amazing.
Devastatingly handsome friend.
Yeah. And the way that that Dean says that the great thing about waitresses is they smell like food all the time. and then when Mindy's standing next to Cass, Cass kind of leans over and sniffs.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
Yeah. No, I do. Do we wanna? Yeah. This is such a complicated. I mean, Dean kind of seeking comfort of, you know, like food, even when he is with waitresses, is.
Yep.
Yeah, there is like a whole can of worms that I will not open now.
Yeah,
I don't feel like it, but yeah. Much to think about.
Yeah. Can I open that can slightly?
Please do.
Does anybody else feel like it's weird that they're all like, not all, but that they're all talking about this waitress and like flirting with this waitress in front of their mom? And she's just like, oh my god, make this stuff happen.
I just love how we get a few moments in this scene where Mary actually like sounds and acts like a mom.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Was it weird? It wasn't weird for me because it was mainly Dean and Cass doing, and Cass wasn't doing it. He was just there. He's just so good looking. He just happens naturally. But it was mostly Dean, and Dean was doing it for Cass. So yeah I feel like that was probably okay with her.
Yeah, the triangulation around Dean, Mindy, and Cass is just insane. And then at one of the flashbacks, one of the sections where they go back to this conversation, there's a close-up of Dean like wiggling his eyebrows at Cass. Like, come on.
Yeah, the guy was like, is somebody gonna flirt with my devastatingly handsome best friend? And just didn't wait for an answer.
Yes, exactly. But also, speaking of Mary, I love how much Mary and Cass have bonded. Like, I completely forgot about that. Like, she's the one who carries him into the barn. She's right by his shoulder when he's, like, in anguish from being stabbed, and then when she's talking to Ketch, she said one of my boys almost died.
Yes, that's my favorite part.
Yeah
Like, he's already her son-in-law.
Yeah
And that she's the one who goes to Dean when they step away from Cass to like form a plan, and she says, what's the play, to Dean. Even though she's the one who set up this job, she knows how much Cass means to Dean, and so she defers to him for this.
Yeah, and even when they are on phone and Dean is like, are you okay, and she says, no, I'm not, even though she is okay, like the only one hurt is Cass. So
yeah
but I was kind of a bit like angry with Mary, because like there is, we see this painting with the spear or lance so many times, and you can clearly see that the thing it is killing is an angel. So I was like, maybe like, you know, calling Cass to help you out with on this case, and like when you know that this is, because like at the beginning I had the feeling that the thing they were trying to steal was the lance itself and not the coals. Obviously, the box they take out is way too small to, you know, like hit a lens. But like, I don't know, it's a magic. I mean, it could fit anywhere. So
yeah.
So yeah, and I'm like, it feels like the whole mission is just to retrieve the lens. And I'm like, yeah, why did you bring Cass here? Because the lens is a weapon that is designed to kill Cass and etc. Mm-hmm. But yeah. It all worked out fine. It's fine. I forgive her.
Yeah. It's always interesting to see a character who's supposed to be like, oh, somebody who cares for people being ruthless and being like living on the edge and stuff the way that Mary does.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, because I didn't remember much about this episode, like towards the end. Like, for example, I didn't remember Crowley at all, that he was gonna be in this episode. And also, I didn't remember when Ramiel gives them time give them back the what they have stolen, aka the cold. And it was like, I didn't know what Mary was going to decide. Like, was she going to say that, yes, they have the cult, or was she going to give it back or not? And like, I was like, yeah, she is definitely going to give it back. Like, that was what I thought was going to happen. But she never said anything about it and just like kept denying it. And I thought that was so interesting that she didn't, even though, like, you know, Cass was almost dead already. Yeah. I don't know, maybe, yeah, probably because, yeah, she, I have this feeling that she was, like, really scared of Dean's reaction and Sam's too, probably, but mostly Dean's, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somewhere between heaven and hell?
Yes, I just have one more thing about foreshadowing 1518.
Yes.
Well, not 15, 18, 15, 20. Dean gets pinned up against a barn support beam when that fight was wrong.
Hey. I do not accept this.
Wow.
This is unacceptable.
I'm sorry. I had to put that out there.
But like the this is happening in a barn is already making me insane. And yeah. Also, like, yeah, and then the whole thing, and when Dean at for the first time notices that Cass is hurt and just wants to like have a look at the wound, and he tries to like lift Cass's whatever he's wearing, like, and then sees how bad the wound is and just instantly wants to cover it because Cass is trying to like reveal more of the wound, and he's like, yeah, no, you're gonna be fine, everything's gonna be fine. Because he tries to like remain so positive, and that versus how Dean is in like 1518 when he has this whole speech that now she's gonna kill you and then she's gonna kill me, blah blah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. It's like he like already lived through similar situation once or many times, and now he's really, you know, now really is the end. So yeah.
Yeah,
it hurts.
But poor Dean, like, I am so mad right now.
Yeah. Can't catch a break.
Yeah. Now, the first thing I want to say about Somewhere Between Heaven and Hell is, to be clear, throughout all of this talk about Dean needs to be able to retire, I never said that Dean doesn't love hunting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that beginning where they've come home from like three hunts straight and that he's covered in gore and he's got the bat with the barbed wire, and yeah, he is flying high in that moment.
Yeah, though I missed the germaphobe. The germaphobe was missed in this episode.
yeah. I mean, it's like, for him, it's the only socially acceptable way to vent all of the anger that lives inside of him. So
yeah, it's kind of like,
that's a valid point
for him.
Yeah,
and he's so high on adrenaline, so yeah, I kind of I let it slide.
Yeah, I'd like to think that when he was like, okay, I'll go shower, and as soon as he's away from Sam and he doesn't have to have the bravado, he's like, ew. I'm gonna burn these clothes and take the hottest shower I physically can.
Use the expensive shampoo, yes.
Yes.
I love that. The expensive shampoo!
The fancy shampoo that you hide from me.
Oh my god!
Because Dean is a creature of comfort, ultimately, and to the point where Sam has to hide his shampoo from Dean. Because Dean couldn't possibly spend money on fancy shampoo for himself. The only acceptable way for him to do that is to steal from his brother.
And I'm sure he just uses so much of it that he's basically drowning in it whenever he uses it. And,
oh, yeah.
And like, he doesn't even need it. Like, how short is his hair? Like, probably it's like 1/3 of what Sam uses. But no. Free shampoo.
Exactly.
Oh, man.
Also, that the bat is a reference to Jeffrey Dean Morgan as Negan on Walking Dead.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I completely missed that.
Because that's why he says Dad loved this thing. Though, apparently, when I was reading the trivia, they'd had the bat as one of the items in the trunk in, like, several episodes before this. So, so that's fun that they actually like paid off on that.
But sort of like how they later pay off on the big ass gun.
Yeah. That's right.
Poor Cass has no idea how to deal with this guy. This
Yeah.
That was a masterclass in Cass trying to be human, where he's just like, yeah,
I loved it. He just follows him into that back room, and he's just like, I can do this, I can do this. And the moment the guy brings up, like, aliens, and just, he takes one look around, he's like, you know what? No, I'm going. I'm leaving.
Too much. Yeah. Thank you for your time. Goodbye. It's so good.
Yeah. I love when Cass does cases, and when he does them alone.
Yes.
A lot of fun.
What do you guys think of this Kelvin guy?
He's flirting with Cass so hard.
I agree.
But I also got the impression he just does that to everybody that he interacts with. But I was just like, okay, Cass getting chatted up by this dude. It's fine.
Okay, question. I just remember they are at a bar. Like, why are they at a bar when both of them, like, neither of them drink or eat anything? Like, that's fucking weird.
Blending in, I guess.
I just love that, and this is something that's happened before with Cass, where he's met an angel, and it's only, like, the second time he's ever met the angel, and he's still remembers their name and, you know, things about them. And the fact that Cass is just like that person who meets someone once and it could be years and years and years before he meets them again and he still will remember your name.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it's wonderful. And then he was like, "You remember me."
Yeah.
It's very sweet. After Cass having so many interactions with angels who are just like fight on sight with him, he finally has somebody who's nice to him.
Yeah.
Yeah. All of your points about Kelvin are valid and I agree with them, but I don't like him because of his comment about being with your true family.
Yeah
but also, I was like from his point of view, I understand that comment, like from Kelvin's point of view.
Yeah, but I mean, this is a record on loop from the angels.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we have to agree that, Cass is just, it's Trey in terms of like, I mean, it's normal that it is how it is because like he is technically an angel and his family is technically, the angels are his family. So yeah, not everybody understands the intricacies between of his relationship with Dean. Okay. only people high up like Amara couldn't grasp.
Yes. Yeah, it does seem like, even though he's flirting and being nice, it definitely does seem like he has
ulterior
motives and is like manipulative, but less so than other angels have been to him. So
yeah,
he gets points for that. But yeah, it definitely feels like, also when he's like, as soon as you get rid of Lucifer's baby, you'll be welcomed back with open arms. When there are long-held grudges, like, they're still talking about when he killed angels in season 6.
Yeah.
Whenever he meets angels that hate him.
Mm-hmm.
So it just seems, like, too good to be true.
I do not remember what happens to Kelvin after this and what kind of role he plays at all, but, like, it's funny that they that they send another good-looking male angel to Cass after they put Hannah in a male body. It's just funny for some reason.
They pick up on that, pick up on the intricacies of his relationship with humans. I'm on Supernatural Wiki. He comes back in a future episode once, so
okay,
I'll leave it at that.
I feel like this might be one of the final times that we get some Drowley since Crowley's death is coming up real soon.
I love them.
This is so great. And this one is just sort of like flirty, divorced couple.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fucking great.
Yeah.
Comment about it, really, the glasses really bringing out Dean's eyes is great. and the maybe I've rubbed off all over you, and Dean going
Well, and they have like Dean making fun of Crowley to everybody else in the room when he's on the phone with him, like Crowley shows up and he says or I think Gwen says something about things being weird, and Crowley says it can always get weirder, and then he looks at Dean and there is a shot of just of Dean looking at him and being like, god damn.
I just love when they have like a human who has recently learned the supernatural is real, and that when they are like taking it long, it's always so much fun. I don't know. I mean, there are humans who are obviously freaked out, but like the ones that aren't are fun to have on the episodes.
Yeah. She just like, she knows what she saw, so she takes it in stride because it explains what she saw. And she's just like, yeah, I'll go with you and your magic glasses to hunt down the hellhound.
And she technically like ends up saving Sam's ass. So like,
yeah. It's great.
I feel like it's in the final half of the season that I finally started to be like, okay, I like Crowley. because this scene between him and Lucifer, where Lucifer is all like, you know, you thought you were two steps ahead of me, blah, 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 blah. I'm amazing. Here are my wings. And then Crowley just goes and snaps the wings, gone. And then he reveals he's got this spell work on from the cage, which is just so interesting.
Yeah.
It's one of those few moments that, like, you know, they make something up post haste and are and it actually works. And yeah, so he put the spell work from the cage in the Nick vessel, and it's amazing. It's so great. It's such a great Crowley moment.
Yeah, but I still love that he had him like bound to it, to the chair, even though like,
for no goddamn reason.
Yeah. Well, for the reason of, oh, I can get out of this, but I can't get out of my body. And I just love that Crowley's like, I didn't say I was two steps ahead of you. I said I was 10 steps ahead of you. Girl boss, gatekeep, gaslight. Amazing.
Oh man. And then the final thing I have to say about this episode is when Dean's on the phone with Cass at the very end, and Cass is telling him, you know, I've got a lead on Kelly Klein. And after they hang up, Dean knows something is off.
Yeah.
He doesn't know what. And it's not even clear how he knows something is off. But he knows something is off.
Yeah.
Yep. It's because he knows Cass better than any other human.
Yeah.
Possibly could.
I also love that at the beginning when they are on the phone, when they are, at the beginning of the case, when Sam is on the phone with Mary and Dean is on the phone with Cass.
As they
exit the car. So yeah, that was cute.
Yeah, and when Dean is ending his call with Cass, Sam is ending his call with Mary, and Sam saying, love you too, overlaps. Yeah. Yeah. What Dean is saying, and I was like, oh, it's perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. But what are, I don't know, I just don't really get why Cass is going with Calvin to heaven, I guess. Like, do we think that he's hoping they will help with the Lucifer/Jack problem? Does he really want to get his family back? I don't know. I don't remember what happens after this episode. So.
I think he really wants to get his family back, because he always has. Every time he's gotten the chance or been given the idea of reuniting with the angels, he has jumped at that chance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Honestly, that would also like make sense when, I mean, obviously this won't work out, but like how, why he's so bent on like raising Jack after, because yeah. he didn't get family this way, but he could still have family other ways. So yeah.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
That's another can of worms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Any bits of trivia?
I had one bit, and I forgot to mention this too, when Dean was having his conversation with Crowley, I just loved that he actually out loud to Crowley's face said, "Thank you for saving Cass."
Right?
Like that yes. is character growth, that he had this moment right? of like sincerity with Crowley.
Yeah.
And then they go right back to, you know, being goofy and, you know, double entendres and stuff. But it was really nice mm-hmm. to actually have that moment with him.
Just to add on that, I also loved what he said when he was talking to Ramayel about, like, Winchesters and about Dean. I mean, they are always, like, it's always so cheesy when they make them say, yeah, the Winchesters are so important and they are, like, the savers of Earth, blah blah, but I feel like he made it sound, you know, not so cheesy and
yeah
very sincere, so yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah, that was nice. Some good Crowley moments in these episodes.
Yeah.
The only real thing that I had for trivia was just a fun one, that they named the hellhound that's on the loose Ramsay. And since they love referencing Game of Thrones, it could be a reference to Ramsay Bolton, who is known for having hounds that kill people, and yep. that he was, spoiler alert, killed by his own hounds that look very similar to the hellhounds with the big heads and scary. So,
yep, that's funny.
Good times.
Yeah, good times. So, next week, not next week, next time, next episode, we will be discussing 1216 Ladies Drink Free, which doesn't have any Cass, but has very important stuff about Claire. Also, 1217, The British Invasion, and 1219, The Future. I believe the future is the one where Cass has the, like, vision of Jack.
Oh.
But I'm not sure.
We'll find out.
Yeah. yeah. These are definitely some episodes that I'm mostly like, I don't remember what's going on. So it'll be fun. It'll be interesting. And in the meantime, this has been Heller Radio. My name is Nora Rose.
I am Sally.
And I'm Kate. Our sound editing is by Josh.
Music by Kalua.
Give 'em hell, Hellers.
Let me cry.